Good afternoon, 4:30 and 52 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Disgust. Really, I mean, when people are insulting people's spouses, I think that's fairly juvenile.
Senator Rand Paul speaks out on the Republican race for president. The GOP lawmaker was in Moorhead for a town hall meeting today.
A groundbreaking is scheduled for Rowan County's new technical school.
The proposed lift tax apparently will not get off the ground in Frankfort.
In sports, Moorhead State hosts Nevada tonight in a best-of-three series for the College Basketball Invitational Championship.
But Luke has the stocks.
There's a frost advisory tonight with lows in the mid-30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
WSAZ is reporting that a plea agreement has been reached in the case of an Ashland resident accused of choking a man to death at a home on Fairway Drive nearly 2 years ago. The deal apparently averts a second trial for 46-year-old Charles Wilhere. He was arrested following the death of Aaron Adkins in May 2014. Commonwealth's attorney Gary Kahn says details of the settlement are not yet being released. Wilhere's first trial in Boyd County Circuit Court ended in a hung jury last October. Trial number two had been scheduled to begin today.
A 38-year-old Maysville man is free on bond after pleading innocent to second-degree manslaughter and DUI charges in connection with a fatal accident last week. Jacob Horch was in court today for a pre-trial hearing in the death last Wednesday of 36-year-old Stephen Marshall. He was also from Maysville. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports that city police determined the victim was a passenger in an ATV driven by Horch that crashed on private property near the Clyde Barber Parkway. They say the impact threw Marshall from the vehicle, and then it landed on top of him.
An accident Sunday afternoon on the AA highway in Lewis County has taken the life of a Vanceburg man. Kentucky State Police identified the victim as 40-year-old Coy Jordan. They say Jordan was a passenger in a truck that went over an embankment on the Grayson Spur. The driver is hospitalized in Columbus.
The jailer of Boyd County is facing a lawsuit for allegedly ignoring sexual harassment complaints. MSPR's Sean Delaney has details.
In her suit against Joe Burchett, plaintiff Diana Reynolds claims the Boyd County jailer refused to take any steps towards disciplining a supervisor for making, quote, inappropriate sexual advances and statements. Reynolds alleges that Supervisor Jeffrey Scott Salyers made intimidating and inappropriate statements towards both her and other female employees at the jail. Burchett is said to have ignored reports filed over Salyers. In Burchett's legal response, he denies that Reynolds ever approached him to discuss issues of harassment. He also denies that Salyers ever made inappropriate remarks. Reynolds is seeking monetary damages for pain and suffering. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Sean Delaney.
Kentucky's junior senator says the GOP presidential race has been trumped by celebrity. Republican Rand Paul made the joke to reporters in Rowan County this afternoon following a town hall meeting on the Moorhead State University campus. Paul says the contest that has millionaire businessman Donald Trump leading the field has sometimes been disgusting and fairly juvenile. Even so, Paul says he'll probably support Trump if he ends up as the party's nominee.
We'll wait and cross that bridge, but I've always said I'll support the nominee, mainly because when I ran for office in 2010, I had a competitive primary, and I actually had to promise that I would support the nominee, and I did. And I also think that part of party politics is agreeing to support people that aren't completely with you on things but you think are better than the alternative. And really, frankly, I would be very worried for the country and worried for Kentucky to have Clinton at the helm.
Paul thinks Mrs. Clinton would be bad for Kentucky, as he claims President Obama has been. The Bowling Green eye doctor dropped out of the Republican presidential race earlier this year.
By November, $10 billion will have been spent on political advertising, and the American people will not know who paid for much of it. That's according to Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth. The Democrat wants the Federal Communications Commission to use its authority to require the disclosure of donors who sponsor ads for organizations Yarmouth calls front groups.
This is such a deceit that is being fostered on the American people. They don't have any idea who is saying that puppies and kittens are great. And until we get this kind of disclosure, billions and billions of dollars will be spent to deliberately deceive American voters.
Yarmouth says candidates and political parties are required to reveal their donors, and organizations sponsoring ads should have to do the same thing.
A groundbreaking is scheduled next month for Rallin County's $28 million vocational and technical school. It'll take place Monday, April 18th, at the future site of that facility on Lake Park Drive in the John Will Stacy Industrial Park. That's just off I-64. Russ Ward is director of the Rowan campus of the Maysville Community and Technical College. He says it's an ideal location.
It's a great spot for us because it's not only going to help our students, but, you know, it's going to be one of those things that the county and the region can use to track in new industry. And I think it's going to be a win-win for the region.
Ward says it'll take about 2 years to build the new school, which will include an advanced manufacturing center.
Morehead State University is selling its regional campus facility in West Liberty and using that money to buy the Rowan County Board of Education building at the junction of 2nd Street and Tippett Avenue. MSU's Board of Regents has authorized the sale of the West Liberty property to the Morgan County School District for $1.8 million. Dr. Wayne Andrews is president of MSU. He says his school will then use those funds to buy the Rowan County structure, which is just off campus. Andrews says the long-range plan for that property is to use it for parking. However, he's quick to point out that there's an immediate need for office space due to the impending expansion of the University Center.
Given the renovations we're going to do in ADUC, we'll close that building in May, and it'll be offline for almost 2 years. Think about everything that goes on in that building. Student life is in there, all of the various and sundry offices. They need a quality place to do their business. And then in addition to that, the Hogg building, which is where the enrollment services office is now, will be torn down as part of the renovation and staging for ADUC.
Morehead State is paying the Rowan County School District $2 million for its administration building.
A House Senate Conference Committee is scheduled to meet again Wednesday as the two chambers try to reconcile their differences over a new two-year budget for Kentucky. The panel held its first meetings last week. In addition to funding levels for higher education, one of the other major tasks is trying to agree on performance-based standards for the Commonwealth's public colleges and universities, which would determine part of their state appropriations. Those metrics, which include things like retention and graduation rates, are included in the Senate budget. They are not part of the House plan. House Speaker Greg Stumbo is one of the conferees. The Prestonsburg Democrat says funding tied to performance measures is not a new idea. He says coming up with a system that is fair to all is a tall order.
It really speaks to the area that you're asked to serve. You know, Morehead versus Western. A lot of those kids that are in Morehead service area historically have college readiness issues, whereas Bowling Green, being a more prosperous area, a lot of those kids are probably ready to go to college when they get there. You know, graduation rates, that even has an impact of economics.
Stumbo says students from affluent parts of Kentucky are more likely to finish their degrees than those who are not. He says he's not opposed to performance metrics, but he wants to make sure they don't advantage some schools over others.
It looks like the proposed local option sales tax will again fail to make it through the Kentucky General Assembly. At least that's the assessment of the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. Republican Chris McDaniel doubts there's much time to get the proposed constitutional amendment through the legislature this year. He tells CN2's Pure Politics Kentucky's new two-year spending plan takes priority, and that means a so-called lift tax is in trouble.
I certainly think that it's just about out of time. Obviously, we have to finish negotiating this budget. The biggest thing that we have to do as a General Assembly is to appropriate the funds to keep government running.
And McDaniel says the new state budget is going to consume the legislature's time over the next several days. The lift tax would permit local governments to pass temporary sales tax issues to fund specific capital projects, but that could only happen if Kentuckians first approve the plan in a statewide vote, and local voters also agree to the tax.
A whooping cough outbreak is hitting record levels across northern Kentucky. Health officials in Boone, Campbell, Grant, and Kenton counties say since November, there have been 184 cases of whooping cough diagnosed, the most since 140 were reported in 2010. School-aged children, 7 to 17, account for the majority of the cases affecting attendance at more than 45 schools and child care centers in the region. Dr. Emmanuel Oga is a Northern Kentucky epidemiologist.
Previous outbreaks were either in much younger children or in the groups of unvaccinated children. Getting more cases in teenagers, an average of about 15 years, 5 full days of antibiotics before the child can go back to school or before the adult can go back to work and mingle with other people.
Oga says symptoms of whooping cough mimic those of a cold in its early stages and easily spread among people in close contact.
Mr. Charles is going to Washington. Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles will testify in the nation's capital April 12th in a case that alleges China and several other countries are subsidizing their steel industries and dumping their products at unfair prices in the U.S. Charles says he'll offer oral and written comments at a federal Department of Commerce hearing. About 600 employees of Ashland's AK Steel Mill have been laid off since December due to depressed domestic market conditions. However, Charles says that only scratches the surface.
You know, everybody calls it the trickle-down effect, not only of what happens to the employees at AK Steel, but, you know, now you look at CSX, where they're less likely to bring coal, to them. Your truck drivers, people that deal with the slag. Now the individuals are not going to have the money to spend in restaurants. So it's so many different people, including the city.
AK Steel idled its Ashland blast furnace in December due to a slumping of sales in the U.S.
According to Moorhead's top official, an experiment with a key downtown intersection has been a success, and the change made to it last summer has become permanent. The traffic light at the corner of Main Street and Batson Oates Drive was turned into a flashing red light, and the intersection became a four-way stop. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the adjustment has met its goal of making the intersection much more pedestrian-friendly.
So far, it's working. We've not had one accident, knock on wood. We've had some close calls. But you know what? People run red lights. People run stop signs all the time. So it just, again, it's doing what it, the effect it's had so far, according to pedestrians, more than I talk to motorists, is it's easier for them to cross. They see traffic slowing down.
Trent says the next step will be for council to consider leaving the corner's flashing red light in place.
The city of Ashland will begin enforcing its new central parking district in about 30 days. That's according to City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson. The city will be removing parking meters between 13th and 18th Streets and between Greenup and Carter Avenues, and allowing 2 hours of free parking. Motorists parking longer than that will be ticketed and fined $10. Gunderson says the hope is that the new strategy will keep people who work downtown from feeding meters and parking in prime shopping spaces all day.
We have additional commerce downtown, specialty shops, retail shops, centered around the arcade through our central business district. And the employees who work downtown were parking there all day, thus keeping the customers away.
Gunderson says many of Ashland's small downtown businesses are actually doing pretty well despite parking issues. He's hoping they'll do even better once the new parking rules go into effect.
And finally, this afternoon, Ashland commissioners have authorized a compensation and job classification study for city employees. The review will be done by Hanna Resource Group of Lexington. Allison Petrie is a human resources consultant for the company.
What we're trying to do is ensure that the city remains competitive with their compensation. It's been a while since they've been able to update the structure due to market movement, and so that's a critical need to keep them able to hire, recruit, and retain the people that they need.
Petrie says the study will take about 10 days to complete.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, there will be a frost advisory in effect from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Your weather for tonight will be mostly cloudy with areas of frost and patchy dense valley fog near dawn, lows around 38 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be sunny. After that frost advisory, we'll see highs up around 55 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, areas of frost late and lows in the upper 30s. On Wednesday, it'll be sunny, highs around 72. That night, cloudy, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-50s. And on Thursday, we'll see showers and a 90% chance of thunderstorms, highs again in the lower 70s. It's currently sitting at 55 degrees in Ashland. It's 52 right now in Flemingsburg, 55 in Inez, 54 in Lexington, 53 in Winchester, and it's 52 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:46, it's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, an area cinema has been doing its part to combat hunger in the region. Moorhead State Public Radio's Tanner Boyd has that story.
Since the early 1990s, River City's Harvest has been working to alleviate hunger in Boyd, Greenup, and Lawrence County, Kentucky, as well as Lawrence County, Ohio. And while the organization does receive several donations from various food drives and other events, a big part of what they do is a practice called food rescue.
Supermarkets are big corporations like Walmart and Kroger and places like that. They get new shipments of food in every day, and especially like the produce items and things like that. So when they get the new shipments in, they have to do something with the older produce.
And that's where RCH steps in, making stops at these locations to pick up food that would otherwise make its way to the dumpster. You just heard River City's Harvest Executive Director Brittany Hoback describing the process. She says the fresh food is always great to receive, but her and the agency's RHC assists also have high demands for other items.
Canned food is something that all of our agencies want. We have about 40 different partner agencies that we give food to, but canned food is what everybody wants and what we don't get our hands on that much. And so Kiowa kind of stepped up to the plate and has continued since November to do these food drives for us with these movies.
Since November, Kiowa 10 Theater at the Kiowa Mall has been hosting events often themed around something like a holiday or a decade, and using that money to assist River City's Harvest.
They would say that you could bring in 5 canned good items or pay $5, and then they would give us all the proceeds for that. And then it really went very well.
Last year, Hoback says RCH rescued over 600,000 pounds of food, which in actual cost would be over $1 million. And on that end, it really says something to the effectiveness of Kiowa 10's campaign.
Every time we go out to pick up food, it's been about 1,000 pounds of canned food, which helps us out so much. We really depend on our community to kind of fill in these gaps for us. And they have, like I said, since November, have really done an outstanding job.
The theater's theme this month has been Sequels That Don't Suck, which features 2 movies a week, such as Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Alien and Aliens, and Jurassic Parks 1 and 3. This week, they're going to the mattresses with The Godfather Parts 1 and 2. Admission to the shows are either 5 cans of food or $5. All food received goes to River City's Harvest, and any money taken in will go to spay or neuter local animals. However, if you can't make it out to the movies, Hoback says RCH is always in need of help.
We're actually looking for volunteers right now. We have our Kroger pickups. We have people that we would like to send to Kroger to go to the different departments and pick up food for us. So we're actually actively looking right now for to cover a few days at our Russell Kroger. So we are looking for volunteers.
Showtimes and events at Kiowa 10 Theater can be seen on their website at kiowa10.com, and anyone wanting to help out RCH can go online to rivercitiesharvest.org. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Tanner Boyd.
4:49, All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and sports is up right now.
Step 1 of the championship round kicks off.
afternoon from Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Michael Gustin. The Morehead State Basketball Eagles are at Johnson Arena tonight at 8:30 to start the best of three championship series in the College Basketball Invitational against Nevada. While saying it will be good to have these Eagles on their home floor in front of their fans for the series opener, Coach Sean Woods admits there's one drawback to that situation.
That means that they got home court advantage because the next tour is at their place. But we got to take care of home first, you know, one game at a time. We take care of home, and they got to beat us twice at their place. So we're looking forward to the first game at home, and then we'll see from after that. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Both MSU and Nevada have won 22 games this season and hang their hats on playing good defense and out-rebounding their opponents. Game 2 of the CBI Finals will be Wednesday night in Reno, likewise for Game 3 if it is needed. Former NBA coach Mike Dunleavy is taking his first collegiate job as the Tulane Green Wave men's basketball coach. The 62-year-old will look to get the program back to the NCAA tournament, which has not been since 1995. Morehead State Baseball Eagles are getting in a day of practice at Allen Field. After winning 2 of 3 OVC contests at home against Belmont, Coach Mike McGuire's 14-9 Eagles are getting ready for a pair of 4 p.m. non-conference home games.
You know, we've got Miami, Ohio, and then Marshall Tuesday and Wednesday. And, you know, I think it's got a chance to keep some momentum going and then ride into Eastern Kentucky, you know, with that momentum.
The Eagles open a 3-game conference series with Eastern on Friday in Richmond. Also from MSU baseball, sophomore pitcher Aaron Leisher has been tabbed the Ohio Valley Conference Pitcher of the Week. Leisher went the distance this past weekend, tossing a complete game against Belmont, not allowing a run and only giving up 3 hits. Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price still has some questions about his team as it enters the final week of spring training. Price is trying to figure out who will fill the remaining spots on his roster and who his left fielder will be.
Adam Duvall's had a great spring. I've had some really seen some good signs from Scott Schebler and Tyler Holt has done a nice job, and Jake Cave, a Rule 5 guy. So we got a lot of competition for left field and bench spots, and that's been kind of fun to watch the guys compete.
The Reds are taking on the Brewers tonight in split squad action down in Arizona. Also from Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves have released veteran outfielder Nick Swisher. Swisher hit 195 with 4 home runs in 46 games last year with the club. And the Baltimore Orioles have announced Chris Tillman will be their opening day starter for the 3rd straight season. The Morehead State softball team will be in action tomorrow afternoon in Ohio against the Dayton Flyers. Eagles coach David Williams says UD is really solid on the mound.
Their ERA is extremely low. They haven't given up a lot of hits, and they haven't walked a lot of people either. So we're really going to have to focus in on offense tomorrow and take advantage of opportunities we get and try to score runs when we get those chances, because they're kind of stingy with it. They don't really give up a lot.
The 17-11 Eagles will kick off the first game of the doubleheader starting at 3 o'clock. After taking last week's spring break off, it's back to work for the Morehead State football team. Practices for Coach Rob Tenyer's Eagles restart this week. Job one for Tenyer remains finding replacements for the 20 seniors MSU is graduating from last fall's 7-4 squad.
You know, that's the great thing about this. It's kind of you replenish what you had, and you transition some of your red shirts and younger kids into new roles. And so I'm really excited about it. I really like our skill level.
The MSU football team's spring drills conclude on April 16th with the annual blue-white inter-squad game. Coach Mark Stoops' Kentucky football program has gotten a commitment from a big-time prospect. Chuck Mraz reports.
4-star wide receiver Javonte Richardson from Maple Heights, Ohio, says he'll sign with the Wildcats later this year and join them in 2017. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, the 6'4 Richardson is ranked as a top 100 recruit nationally. He and several other high-profile prospects visited UK over the weekend. Richardson reportedly chose the Big Blue over such schools as Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. The paper says Kentucky's 2017 recruiting class is now ranked 8th nationally and 2nd in the SEC, only behind Alabama. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
And finally in sports today, signings from the National Football League. The Carolina Panthers have signed former Steelers corner Brandon Boykin. Also, the New Orleans Saints have brought in defensive tackle Nick Fairley on a 1-year deal. And free agent running back Arian Foster will meet with the Miami Dolphins tomorrow. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball hosts Marshall University at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, and Eagle Softball welcomes EKU for a doubleheader on Saturday at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Tickets and more information available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mixed in low-volume trade as investors eyed oil prices and awaited data and comments from key Fed policymakers due later in the week. The major averages steadied after a knee-jerk reaction to afternoon reports of gunshots in the U.S. Capitol Visitor Center. One person was in custody, and injuries were limited, and the situation returned to normal relatively quickly. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a small gain of 19.66 at 17,535.39. The S&P 500 was up 1.11 at 2,037.05, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 6.72 at 4,766.79. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 17 to 12 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The Dow Transports closed about 0.7% lower after earlier falling more than 1%. Energy and utilities were the greatest decliners in the S&P 500. U.S. crude oil futures trimmed losses to settle about 0.2% lower at $39.39 a barrel. Consumer discretionary stocks led S&P 500 advancers in afternoon trading. Shares of Starwood Hotels and Resorts soared today after news came out that China's Anbang Insurance was raising its earlier offer for Starwood. And, of course, this latest offer from Anbang would top Marriott's offer that was made last week for Starwood. Boeing and Microsoft were the greatest contributors to declines in the Dow Jones Industrials, as Boeing was down 0.625% and Microsoft was down 1.25%, and 3M was the best performer among the 30 Dow Industrial stocks, as it gained 1.15%. Shares of Valeant Pharmaceuticals fell sharply after news that the firm's CEO has been summoned to testify at a U.S. congressional hearing on April 27th. Valeant shares were down 7.38% today. And on the NASDAQ, most stocks struggled for gains, but among your best performers were Netflix, which was up almost 3%, Gilead Pharmaceuticals, which was up 1.25%, and Facebook, which was up 0.5%. Overseas, in Europe, markets were actually closed because in lieu of Easter Monday, and in Asia, markets were mixed for the most part. The Nikkei 225 finished higher, and the Shanghai Composite ended slightly lower. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 74 cents at 107.96, AEP down 7 cents at 64.99, CSX down 55 cents at 25.62, AK Steel down a penny at 4.14, Marathon Petroleum up 14 cents at 37.01, and Verizon was down 15 cents to finish at 53.41. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight mostly cloudy skies, areas of frost and patchy dense valley fog near dawn. We'll see lows around 38 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be sunny with areas of frost and patchy dense valley fog early. There will also be a frost advisory in effect from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Highs during the day around 55. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, areas of frost late, and lows again in the upper 30s. On Wednesday, it'll be sunny, highs again up around 72. That night, cloudy, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-50s. And on Thursday, we'll see a 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the lower 70s. It's currently sitting at 55 degrees in Ashland. It's 52 in Flemingsburg, 55 in Inez, 53 in Winchester, and it's sitting at 54 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Tanner Boyd, Jordan Simonson, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, and Sean Delaney. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived on the web at WMKY.org. for Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.